Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Uncovering Deceptive Snares. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 3.
Luke chapter 17, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the word of the Lord, this is NIV, the word of the Lord reads like this. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It will be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. For all of you that feel some kind of way and can't get over past issues, get over it. We're going into new territory, and I believe God wants us to come from the valley of offense so we can climb the mountain of expectation. Can the church say amen? Amen. From the subject, I'm dealing with a series called Exposing the Spirit of Fraud. Today's message is entitled Uncovering Deceptive Snares. Uncovering Deceptive Snares. In this series, we're going to expose how the enemy works. And he's fraudulent. He's not authentic. But if you're deceived, you would think the fraudulent is authentic. And it's wrapped up in the bait called offense. You may think you have a right to be offended and stick keep it. But today God says we need to drop it. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
And I believe the grace that is on this message is going to touch your heart to drop some offenses so we can move forward. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Father, I give you praise for the word that is rich, that is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating deeper into the soul, into the joint, in the marrow of the bone. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we worship today, thank you for exposing our heart to another level of your glory. And as we rise in your presence, help us to rid ourselves of any traces of fraudulent activities. I come against the schemes of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy our progress. Thank you for the abundance in Jesus. Inoculate me as I uncover networks. Keep me safe from the enemy's attacks. Let intercessors pray for the bishop and his family. As I deal with higher ground as a principality coming against the enemy, so your people will be set free. And I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands if you're ready to receive the word of the Lord. As Charlie Kirk was assassinated on the 10th of September, I believe the enemy has a target on the backs, on the chest or the necks of leaders who uncover networks. I don't have to agree with Charlie Kirk and everything he said, but what I am saying is that the enemy wants us to be afraid to deal with issues. I stand before you, relaxed in the spirit. I believe God has inoculated me to teach what I'm about to teach, but I also see the network of the enemy losing its concealment. And when you expose the enemy, he gets angry. And I'm asking you all to pray for me as I deal with territories that I believe God wants me to deal with. We worship him. We're going to peel off some flesh and some offenses as we rise to higher ground. But the one taking us there by the Spirit, I happen to be the leader coming out of the valley of offense. I know the enemy is going to attack me. And I'm asking you to be serious about your life and to pray for me. If I have the mantle to deliver you from trials and traumas, even by the Spirit, then pick up the mantle of prayer and protect me. If you wake up at night, stop grabbing a joint and get on your knees and ask God to touch the Lord that's in your pastor. Touch the gift that's in your pastor. Can I get some help up in here? Y'all playing, but I'm telling you, the enemy is real. And I'm watching what's happening in the nation. And I'm telling you right now, the enemy doesn't like churches like this. He doesn't mind you go to the church, sit in the rafters and hang out and play and still on Saturday do what you do. He doesn't care about all of that. He doesn't care about you hiding in the multitudes. He doesn't care about all of that. He doesn't care about you singing in the choir and ushering. Didn't care about us playing music. What he does care about is when you start drawing closer to God. And when you draw closer to God, it bothers the enemy. And so I need to deal with a few issues all day long, part one and two. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said that offenses will come. It says to his disciples in Luke 17, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. So when you say things like, I don't know why this happened to me, you got to read the text. It says these things are bound to come. People coming against you, people saying things about you, people having an attitude against you. Those of us that are disciples and followers of Jesus, get this in your spirit. Offenses will come. Things will come to make us stumble. Things will come to harm us. But the Bible say, woe. Say, woe. Not in a man saying woe to his horse, but woe as in warning. So you need to see woe here in the scripture as a horn that's honking. Onk, 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 warning. Woe. That's what it sounds like in the text. Woe. Glory to God. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Woe. That's how it sounds in the text. So those of you that are casual with regard to causing offense, you better get your head together. If you're the one that offenses come through intentionally, the Bible says, woe. If you're the one that descends into a community and you come to disturb it, woe. If you're the one that comes in a church as an agent to disturb the harmony of a ministry, woe. If you join a ministry and you start bringing up stuff to hurt people and to cause them to start fighting with each other, woe. If you're part of a network that comes against the move of God, or you're trying to cause suspicion in leadership, woe. Glory to God. And some of us need to go into our homes and tell our children, whoa. If you're coming out of the street and you're bringing that stuff in here, whoa, warning. Don't bring an offense in here. Don't tell me what they said. Don't talk about each other like that. The scripture says, woe to whom the offenses come through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Touch the neighbor and say, he got our attention now. Yeah. Don't play with offense. If you're the one that disrupts network, God's network, I'm telling you now, the author of that is Satan. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says it will be better to have a millstone, a hangman's noose, with weight tied around your neck, or weight tied around your neck and you cast into the sea. That means you drop all the way to the bottom. What's at the bottom of the sea? What kind of creature? Touch your name and say crabs. Lobster. I know you love them. Man, I'm preaching. Shrimp, crabs, lobster, all of that. That's what you call the roach of the sea. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I love my crab. I love lobster. Now, if any one of us right now picked up a bug, a roach, and start chewing on it, you say something wrong. I want you to get a picture now. God says if you cause offense, it will be better for you to have a hangman's noose around your neck with a millstone, a weight, and you're dropped into the sea. You're going to go all the way to the bottom, and the things that's there to eat up carrion, to clean the bottom of the sea, to feast on you, than to offend one of my little ones. And the things that feast on sea creatures when they fall are lobsters and crabs and shrimp. Now, it's going to change your diet a little bit, but I need you to get the picture. You got land creatures and you got sea creatures. Ain't no crabs eating on me. Let's take it to the land. Ain't no crabs in this barrel. In our community, anybody that rises up, if you're not careful, you'll start criticizing. When they start rising up economically, the crab don't want it to see it, and they'll start pulling them back into the barrel. Touch your name and say, ain't no crabs at Truth Revealed. Now, you can eat them after church, but what I'm saying is there's no crabs at Truth Revealed. When I see you rising up, guess what I'm going to do? Send you an offering, and I'm going to clap my hands. No envy or strife is getting in my soul. The Bible said, why do you bite and devour one another? Take heed that you consume, that you be not consumed one of another. That backbiting is like crabs eating at your flesh. And I got to give you the mental picture so you'll back up off of it. I started out by saying, whoa. If you carry gossip or spread gossip, whoa, it's eating flesh. Oh, God, help me. So if your brother or sister offends you, go to them. Ain't nothing wrong with going to each other. That's what the Bible says. Why are you coming at me? No, listen. That's what the Bible says we should do. It's difficult, but it's biblical. One of the reasons why I don't get involved in the children's affairs is because I believe that God wants us to come to each other, not avoid each other. You say, well, I'm avoiding you. To keep what? To keep offenses going? I don't deal. No, the crab is still eating. Because the scripture says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke them. This is verse 3 now. And if they say, I'm sorry, you got to let it go. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time to let it go. Well, I'm going to help you. I'm sorry if I've offended any of you myself. I'll be the first to say. I am sorry if I hurt you. It wasn't intentional. As a leader, I know I do this because I have to move people and resources every year to a place that I can't really determine and give you an address to. He's teaching me to teach you, and he's moving us to higher ground, but I can't give you an address to it. It's by faith that I preach. And if I mobilize you, I know I'm going to hurt somebody. If I got to pull you out of a shark-infested sea, I know I'm going to pull your arm out of joint. If I have to deal with an issue, I know I'm going to offend somebody. And you may say, I didn't come to church for that. So I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm trying to move our people to higher ground. Give me some room. And after I preach this message, you're going to start doing it to each other. And I'm asking you to give each other space to ask for forgiveness. Because there's a grace on forgiveness today. And if your partner repents, the scripture says, forgive them. Actually, if they sin against you, you can rebuke them. Not in terms of yelling, but you can say, you did me wrong and I feel so and so and so. And you shouldn't do that to people. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. But if they repent with the part that you are so aggressive to rebuke, you also have to be aggressive in forgiveness. I've seen a person put up, fill their ammunition, their barrel with ammunition to rebuke a person. And while the person is saying, I'm sorry, they still want to rebuke. An hour gone, still rebuking, okay? I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that, though. No, you're not sorry. You're the one that's not biblical now. If they genuinely repent, that means they turn away from it. It ain't just, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean it that way, I'm sorry. What can we do to mend it? Then the Bible says we need to forgive. So for all of you religious, pious peacocks in God's zoo, walking around, strutting. Our church can't go to higher ground if we don't get this right. And I don't want to go into the new year with a lot of offense. So God told me to deal with it before Thanksgiving. Our confession of faith, this is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is receptive and ready to receive. Can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody in Africa took an image of me and prepared this gown or this frock that you see me wearing. This is their talent. They took an image of me. This is images. They never saw me, never were around me, but they took an image of me and created something for me. And God is taking an image of you and preparing a vest for you. Somebody that I've never seen before thought enough of me to take an image of me and send it. And God told me to tell you he's doing the same thing for you. I don't wear clothes to impress people. I didn't buy it. Somebody saw me and said, I want to bless him. And I believe God told me to tell you, if you can get rid of offenses, he's preparing a vest for you. Hallelujah. That is full of grace and mercy. tailored for you to help you to go to higher ground. So if the continent is calling truth revealed, can't we respond? If God has people from other distant lands to hear the word and they're connecting with it, why are we stuck when we're right here? I believe the Spirit will unstuck us. I mean, I'm preaching. Write it down. Deceit ruins, and it runs deep. It even extends beyond immediate financial losses. Let me say it again. Deceit runs deep. It ruins, and it runs deep and extends beyond immediate financial losses. It even harms people, individuals. It harms families. It harms those that are entering into the marketplace, into business. Deceit harms industries. It even harms our environment or the atmosphere. If our church is plagued with deceitful ones, then the atmosphere will shift. And this can become a toxic atmosphere, like spiritual carbon monoxide. You can't smell it, but it will kill you. You ever walked into a church or into a community or into a home and just felt some kind of way? You could just tell, like, I don't know if they want me here. They may not say nothing. They may set coffee and tea down, but you just feel like they don't really want me here. I don't want anyone coming into our ministry to feel that. If they do, let it be because there's something on the inside of them, but not because of the atmosphere that's set. So all of us, if you're a caretaker of the atmosphere, you need to be responsible for the keys of the atmosphere. And if he gives you keys to control the atmosphere, you need to be caretaker of that key. That means you come in with a good attitude. It's a small price to pay to make sure that the atmosphere is clear for those that are coming in, especially those that are choking and suffocating out there in the world. They need to be able to come in here and breathe. So inhale for me. And exhale. I wish you can see what I saw. Because when you inhale, you sit up straight. So let's sit up straight anyway. Come on, straighten your back. Okay, now let's inhale again. Let's exhale. If you inhale, good atmosphere, you will sit up straighter. And if you exhale bad atmosphere, you'll sit up straighter. And so deceit runs deep. It extends beyond financial issues into the business world, into the marketplace. One of the things you want to do if you ever, ever want to do business in the marketplace is to forgive. Well, Bishop, they did me wrong. Listen, if you ever go to Jerusalem, you see Jewish people. If you go to New York, you see it as well. They own the Diamond District. They own banks, and they will argue with each other until you stand to the counter. Once you stand to the counter, we ain't arguing with each other right now. What about the business? And they do the business and then they'll start arguing with each other. But when it comes to business, we put the argument away so we can do business. We're not like that in other cultures. If we offend each other, we don't spend money with each other. And one of the hardest things that I have to do is to keep our people together, because anybody riding by will see us coming together and I have at least 15 to 20 different agencies wanting to come in and pull our resources out. You don't understand that. You don't understand that. Can't stand to see us sit together. Want to sprinkle us throughout the whole world, but we don't even come together to synergize our resources. And when I talk about it, I'm racist. Every other ethnic group does it, except you and me. That's why we got to get offense out, because it will affect resources. I took our church to a friend of mine. He's going on to be with the Lord on a Sunday morning. He asked me to bring my church to his church on a Sunday morning, and I obliged. I took 50 with me to his church. And as soon as he saw our people sit together, he said, "No, sprinkle." And I said, "No. They don't know your people. They're just here as a unit." He wanted to sprinkle because it looks good when we're sprinkled, but you just divided us. Because when our people sprinkle, they don't come home.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Uncovering Deceptive Snares, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthreveal.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Billy Graham dedicated his life to telling people about God's love and how God wants to spend eternity with us. But one nagging question kept coming up.
You say, how do I prepare? What do I do? I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I go to church. I try to pray. I try to live for God. But the scripture says that's not enough. It's wonderful that you do that, but it's not enough for salvation.
So, what is enough?
Your salvation comes to you as a gift from God. It's Christ who died on the cross, who rose again, who's coming again, that offers you salvation free. And you don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. It's free.
We can tell you more about that free gift at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Thank you.